to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This meeting is called to order. In line with the Borough of Seabright's longstanding policy of open government and compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, I wish to advise you that adequate notice of this regularly scheduled meeting was sent to the Ad Park Press and other local newspapers on January 7, 2019. In each instance, the date, time, and location of this meeting were provided in the notice. This meeting is open to the public. Will the clerk call the roll?
Councilman Bertol?
Here.
Councilman Keeler?
Here.
Councilman Kelly?
Here.
Councilman Lexstein?
Here.
Councilman Rooney?
Here.
And Councilman Schwartz is absent, as is Mayor Long.
Correct. All right, guys, we always do an open with remarks from the audience. Does anyone have anything they'd like to say? Just give your name and address, please.
Sure, Butch Henschel, 7 East Church Street. I have a follow-up question. About a year ago, I had asked about the contractor was coming back to this building to fix the sub-hall work outside, and I was told he was, and there was no work being done. Is he coming back? There's a plan to fix the building?
Well, I can answer you, Mr. Henschel. The contractor went into bankruptcy. We're now dealing with the bonding company, and they've been very receptive. There's been many meetings. They haven't denied anything, but it's certainly slowed the pace.
Because the longer you wait, the worse it's going to get, the more money it's going to cost.
We have a 4-year maintenance guarantee on all the workmanship here with the bonding company, not with the contractor. So we feel comfortable at this point that it'll get done. So for the next 3.5 years, anything that goes wrong is covered by the bonding company.
Anybody else?
Julie Narsons, 1566 Ocean Avenue, Unit 6. I would just like to suggest that a beach committee be formed among the citizens. We have had some major issues of beach maintenance in the South Beach, and there are some interested residents that want to be part of the solution to what's going on down there. So I would just like to suggest that this is considered seriously.
Hey, could you just, Chris, did you get your name?
I didn't get
it. Could you just give your name again? I'm sorry.
Georgine, G-E-O-R-G-E-A-N, Arsons, A-R-S-O-N-S.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hi, Pam Ross, 6 Peninsula Avenue. I have a question when it comes to the noise ordinance. I'm wondering why it isn't enforced more. I mean, why have a nuisance ordinance when it's not being enforced? I have a video on September 22nd, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I can play it right now, where there's yelling and screaming. And I have a surveyor coming to my house over 200 feet away.
And did you report it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't tell you what any particular call, what the response was to that call.
I mean, there's been over 40 complaints, and it's not just me. I know some people like to think that, but it isn't.
Who else is it?
It's people in the neighborhood.
I mean, people think in their reports.
Oh, well, I have them at home.
There's a violation of the presumption brother. They mean it's a violation. They were right. If it's people outside yelling, people outside bar stuff, it's not a violation.
If they're disturbing the peace, and it's that late at night, well, in the morning, this or half in the morning.
Ma'am, this is a bar town. People at 2 o'clock in the morning walking around. This is what they do in Seabright. If they find a violation, we will arrest them. We will let the Seabright police. We will arrest it if it's a violation.
Well, a violation would be a nuisance. It's a nuisance.
Give us a call. I'll send some out.
I have done that. So what I want to do is just play the tape so somebody can hear how loud it is at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Have you met with the chief, Ms. Ross?
I don't know if you could hear from there. That's from my window, so. Which
is loud. Pam, can you meet with the chief and just make sure that he sees the video? Because I don't know if he's seen it.
Oh, okay.
Just meet with him and talk to him.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
It's just, you know, I travel. I travel a lot when I come home. 1 o'clock in the morning is really late. And most people want to sleep. So
it should not be happening.
Exactly.
That's why we adopted the noise ordinance.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Janet Henschel, 70s Church Street. Last time I was here, I brought up the Mad Hatter. I'd like to bring it up again. The way it looks now, it has hanging Tyvek, compromised wood, weeds, porta potty, and a blocked sidewalk. It's a detriment to the community and the residents. I'd like to know if we would be able to give the borough, give the owners a time limit to complete their construction, because the borough has given limits to other owners whose properties in disrepair.
There's a time limit on the permits once they're pulled. I don't know where they are in terms of where, you know, how long that's been.
Have you seen the building? Do you agree that it's not looking too good? It looks like an abandoned building.
I haven't made any inspection of the building, but in answer to your question, there's a time limit on the permits, yes.
And but we don't know when the permits are pulled.
I do not know sitting here now. I do not know.
Do you know how long the time limit is once the permits are pulled?
Generally a year.
Well, they have a work on it in a year. So the permits must be expired.
I don't know if it's been a year. I think it was like last March or April that they stopped, or this March, April that they stopped working
that
on
they
it?
They stopped working.
Yeah, I believe so. It hasn't quite been a year yet. So.
That they stopped working.
Right. But I, like I said, I don't know when the permits were pulled, and I don't know which, and we don't know when the permits were pulled, and each permit is separate.
Okay.
So there's a separate permit for this, there's a separate permit for that, you know, in different
right.
stages. So I don't know where they are in the process. And I don't know legally what kind of
we don't have it in front of us. We didn't anticipate the questions.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of legally.
We can check with the construction department. I mean, short of that, I don't have any information tonight.
I mean, again, it's a public record, so you can go for a permit too.
I don't understand why the borough isn't saying this is an eyesore. Not trying to cause anybody a hardship or clean it up. We can't even move on the sidewalk. I don't know if the residents agree with me, but it's not helping the residents in that vicinity. It's really not. And the borough's just ignoring it, but there are other properties that the borough says, hey, you got to clean up. So what's that about? How do we select?
Well, there's no selection. I mean, if code enforcement finds an issue, or if you report an issue to code enforcement, then they'll deal with it.
So
if they find a violation.
The borough doesn't do anything.
I'm sorry?
If a resident has to report it, the borough doesn't just look into it on their own.
Well, generally not. We won't usually, unless the, you know, unless somebody brings it to our attention that it's a problem.
Like I did last month and I'm doing now.
Well, I don't think you mentioned that you had you had questions on where they were in the project last time you were here.
Right.
And I don't think you brought up the fact that, you know, we should do something about it. I believe this is the first time you've actually said that, you know, we got to do something about this. So now
that's not true. I said, why can't the borough help these people if they're having a problem? And the mayor said to me, if you want to help them, go ahead. I mean, I got an inappropriate response. I just don't understand why the borough isn't doing something. At least have them close it up, and then when they do get their funding, then finish it. Right now, it's bad.
I understand. It's a private project, though, so there's not a whole lot we can do as far as helping them along with it. You know, it's a matter of funding for that, for their family, and for the business owners themselves. I'm sure eventually, I mean, and now that you've brought it up, I mean, we will talk to code enforcement. We will say something to them about maybe possibly looking into seeing what the issues are. If they can do something to clean up some of the facade outside, some of the stuff, you know, some of the issues that you mentioned, like some of this, you know, the stuff hanging off the sides of it, maybe, you know, that type of thing. I know that the exposed wood that's there was actually put up to protect the sub base wood underneath it.
Okay.
So that was kind of like a disposable thing that they put up to protect what was already built. That's eventually going to come down from what I was told by the business owners. But some of that stuff that's hanging off the plastic siding and stuff, we can certainly talk to them about getting that cleaned up. Especially now that with the fall, it's just going to get worse with the storms and stuff, with the wind and all that. Yes, I will. I mean, I'll definitely talk to the code enforcement and see if there's something that we can do to, you know, talk to them about cleaning some of that stuff up. I'll bring it up.
Anybody else? No? All right, so we'll close the public session and we'll move to the consent agenda. We'll have to move on to what exactly meant by that.
Is that a code enforcement?
Before the green line contingent, this has to do with solid waste contract we talked about. What I'd like to do is if you go ahead with it as is, but talk to the contractor, tell them that we're going to review option two during the course of the next year. And then we maybe want to look at him next year and see about adopting option two for the year two and three. That's just it.
Yeah, each one of these years is a separate. Right now, it's a separate. We're doing 1 year at a time. So
that's
next
year,
it's a 3 year contract. Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was 3 year.
I think he would. He's a pretty reasonable guy.
Yeah.
In my
about reassessing next year.
Might.
And then give us an opportunity to research it, talk to the residents, and make a decision on that. But just to let them know that maybe year two and three might be a change. Other than that, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, we have a motion on the consent agenda then?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
By Clerk Overall.
Councilman Birdsall?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Councilman Rooney?
Yes.
And then we have the individual action in the business of vouchers.
Second.
Councilman Birdsall?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Councilman Rooney?
Yes.
Then we have the committee reports. Anyone have anything they want to offer?
For the beach grants, I'm second in command on that, and for the DPW, I just want to say with this, with regard to the sinkholes that have appeared up on the North Beach around 100 block, this was something that we were told could happen when they were building the seawalls. Everybody has made some statements about regards to, while it's nowhere near the seawall, blah, 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 but if you saw them when they were building the seawall, there's actually a foundation that's about almost, that's probably about 60 or 70 feet away from the actual seawall. The seawall is built basically like an iceberg. There's a lot down in the bottom, and very little up top. And when they put all that stuff down the bottom, they started with very big boulders and slowly started filling it in with smaller and smaller stones. However, unfortunately, that still leaves openings and space in between the rocks. When we had this recent storm offshore, obviously the water came up quite high and it saturated that ground. And when it saturated that ground, it started to bring the sand down with it. The water goes down. This is a typical thing that happens anywhere there's a sinkhole that forms. You'll get it if you get a broken sewer main. And the water goes through, it'll suck the sand down. And that's just how it works. So this is something that we're well aware of could happen. Unfortunately, it did happen. We had the fire department out there the past 2 or 3 days back there, out there, saturating the water, saturating the ground, basically pushing as much sand as they can down into the cavities in between the stones, and just filling in as much as they can. Joe's going to have some, I forget who you mentioned that was going to come out and take a look.
We meet tomorrow. DEP will be here on site tomorrow.
Okay. So they're going to be, and to get final aspects as far as backfilling it and filling it in and compacting it down again. Doesn't mean that it's going to permanently fix the problem. So just be well aware that if you are anywhere near any of the new seawall area, you know, try to stay away from that for at least, they said it was supposed to be a year that it was going to be filled in. But, you know, just be well aware of the dangers that could arise in that area. So, but I want to thank the fire department and the DPW for, you know, being on top of that and getting that taken care of as quickly as possible. So thank you, everybody.
Anybody else have a report to want
to do? I'd just second also thank the first responders for coming out to help people with this heavy duty flooding they had to do with the tires. And I'm still on my basement, so I can thank the police and the fire first aid. Just a couple of quick things here. On the court, I checked with them, everything is going well. The next court date is Thursday at 8 o'clock. This is our court, it's held in the Shrewsbury Borough offices. Transition period. They also told me that this Thursday they're breaking ground, cutting a ribbon, and Ocean Board for their new grow facilities. And Joe and I are going to apply tomorrow just to look at where the court will be, so we can get a report back on that. The GIF meeting had the chief was there with me. They touched on a number of issues, but one of them was that they were very strong in recommending that every elected official attend the elected officials conference call, conference meeting at Atlantic City, because there are some changes that are occurring, they said, very important that we're all aware of because of the increased potential for liability for things that happen in the town on the elected officials.
Is that the normal course that we take?
Yes, that would account for the deductible.
Right.
Particularly emphasize attending this year for elected officials. There's a couple of issues coming up that they're working out the final details on. One is sick time for part-time employees. They're aware of this coming down the pipe. And they've just hired a senior law enforcement official from the chief for a number of years, and they're hiring him as part of their educational program to go around to each police department and give individual instruction to those departments. They said they think this will have a major impact on safety and on the various complaints and problems within the department. So it's another GIF effort. The GIF has been doing a lot of work. And I think our GIF is up at the top of the list. All the GIFs in the state of New Jersey are doing very well. There's going to be a 1.5% increase in their budget coming up, but they want to offset that by increasing the dividend. And they can increase the dividend to each town because they have a good surplus. And that covers.
What else? Under capital projects, the municipal building should be wrapped. The construction is winding down right now, so that should be wrapped up this year, and hopefully by December, all the departments have moved in. Obviously, we noted that there's still some small punch list stuff for this building that's been working on, but obviously it's functional and been in here since January. So both construction projects, for the most part, will be complete this year, and then as the bonds kick in for both projects, you know, the revenue this year came out better than expected for paid parking. We brought in around $390,000, which was much higher than we originally modeled, and that'll fluctuate every year, so you know, maybe lower or higher other years. But also, we generate some revenue from the cell towers, and that is anticipated to go up when the other carriers go on the same pole. So there'll be one pole, so it's meeting the goal of offsetting most of what the grants and the insurance covered over half these buildings, but the bonds that we pay for cover the balance. So the paid parking and the cell towers combined are doing their job so far to offset that. And also we'll be able to get rid of our rentals, the balance of our rentals once we move into the municipal building. Under flood control, we just had a pretty big flooding event this past week downtown, as everyone noticed who lives downtown. And the one thing I pay attention to is, you know, as a means to an end, we've had some of the bulkheads replaced. When a grant opened up a couple years ago, we had some of the public streets, we had new bulkheads put out, but obviously without a continuous bulkhead, it's not going to solve the midterm or long-term goal of having the flood mitigated. So we also had to put the bulkhead ordinance in place. So some of the private owners have rebuilt their bulkheads up to the current, what the ordinance calls for. And then of course the street ends are at the correct height. But if you take a look at the flooding downtown, we're all through the same, you know, I do with my cars, it's a big nuisance. It's pretty messy and it's inconvenient. But if you look at the water line on the bulkheads, the new ones on the street ends, you'll see that's pretty much what our goal is, that the water level didn't even come up halfway on the brand new bulkheads. So once we do have a, what our midterm goal is, have a continuous bulkhead. So once that is realized, we're following basically the same footprint that the Army Corps of Engineers had outlined for us about 9 years ago. So once we accomplish that and either get additional funding or however we accomplish that, then flooding events like what happened over the last week or so will be mitigated. I mean, it's not going to fix a sandy type situation. I mean, that'll still come over even the newer bulkheads, but the goal is to maybe get rid of 90% of the regular flooding. And if we had a continuous bulkhead in place, you can look down center or beach right now, you still see the waterline of the bulkheads. So that's what the midterm goal is, to have a continuous bulkhead, and then that's just proof positive that it will actually work once it is. And depending on what happens with the potential development project that everyone's aware of, you know, that's probably going to go through the planning and zoning process. But if it does go through, last time I saw plans for it, they intend on putting a bulkhead into the same height that's needed. So that takes care of it. If it does go through, that'll take care of roughly a third of the area, the linear footage, I think, for the whole downtown area that is in the scope of that overall project. Under beautification, we just awarded small projects to a landscaping firm to beautify the two main entranceways on North Beach and South Beach. Basically, the plans were taken off of the beautification plan we had, the master plan we had approved about 4 years ago. So we took a segment for those two areas because those areas were either under construction or we weren't sure how. So anyways, the timing is right to handle those two projects. So you should see those go up. The one is, again, the entranceway coming up through Monmouth Beach, and the other one's coming over the Highlands Bridge. So those segments there that ought to be completed in the next 2 weeks or so. And then soon after that, we'll be replacing the sign downtown, compliments to the business community. So aside from that, progress.
Just to add to Brian's comments regarding the flooding, we are working with the DPW as well. We are working with our DPW as well as with the state to help put in some check valves that will help prevent the backflow from the river coming up into our storm drains, both in the downtown area as well as up along on North Beach and down in the Eventide area down there. So we're going to try and do as much as we can to really keep as much of the river in the river as we possibly can. So unfortunately, it's a uphill battle. So we'll do as much as we can and try and do the best we can. So.
Yeah, I got a couple of things. Councilman Bursell said, Councilman Keeler, our first responders this weekend were amazing. Chief Friedman, police department out there during the storm, taking care of anybody in need, you know, people stuck in floods. A lot of high tides were at night, caught people by surprise. I just want to thank them for putting in their time. It's definitely important. We need them. We have water vehicles that we've been using instead of sending our, you know, other vehicles through there. So everything worked out real well. I want to thank them for that. Also with the library, November 2nd is the library's fall festival. That's at the Eventide. That is a great event. That is a lot of fun. $35 for the tickets, worth every penny. All businesses donate food in town. It's before the election every year, so everybody shows up because they want to get reelected and all that stuff. Stuff like that. We went all the way back to the Key. And we used to have it at the Key. I forget who came up with that idea. I think it was Liz Montagnier who had it before the election. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's $35, like I said, in advance. And you get $10 mugs, bottles, mugs. And you got to thank the McQuillan family, even Ty, for helping get this done for us. Because without them, I don't know where we'd have it right now. Other than that, progress.
You took the Fall Festival from me. the Trunk or Treat AMS parade is scheduled for Saturday, October 26th at 1 p.m. The parade will be at 2:30 p.m. The costume party thereafter is at 3 p.m. It's a lot of fun. I mean, the parade's been going on for as long as anyone possibly remember. So that's an annual tradition. It's a lot of fun to come check out. Everyone should come and watch that. Also, and perhaps most importantly, There is a school board meeting in Oceanport tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Maple Place. They are proposing bonding in the amount of $33,154,890 to build, to basically renovate the two schools, which are much needed need of repair. But if anyone wants information on that, you should really go to that meeting because it will impact your taxes. These are the, this is one of those things that this council has absolutely no control over whatsoever. We don't control what the school, what the schools do. They're separate entities. But people need to understand that, that your taxes are going to go up. I don't know what the exact amount is, and there's nothing this council can do about it, but the schools are in desperate need of renovations. So if you want information on that, please go to the meeting. There's going to be a special election held on December 10th. And that will be the writer to get the vote on that, and that's going to be whether to approve the bonding or not. Traditionally, it doesn't matter much what Seabright says because Oceanport has more people than us, but that's, but nevertheless, we do get a say in the process. So please go if you're interested in what's happening with the schools. And other than that, I don't believe I have a CRS rating. We came in again, we renewed at six, which is what we were last year, which is tremendous, and that's a credit to our borough staff for constantly putting that together. We were introduced at six. That was a very high rating to get, and it's almost unheard of for a town first submitting and going through the process getting a six rating. That gives us credits on our flood insurance. Everyone gets an automatic deduction. I don't remember the exact amount, but everybody gets like 20%, I believe. I think you get a 20% deduction automatically on your flood insurance. So if you're not getting that, call your flood. You should be getting it automatically, but definitely call your insurance agent and ask for it. So again, that's a credit to our borough staff for putting that together.
Mary Tumbles and Karen have done a tremendous job along with Michelle.
There's a lot of work.
And everyone, and actually, the flood, we're getting an award for that in Atlantic City.
Yes.
Thursday.
Which is well deserved because I know that took literally
years
to put that all together. Yes, in fact, it's a system that's important. Jackie, what's it?
The minimum score you can get is 30. That's the minimum to qualify. But we came in at 45.
We're doing this. Like I said, there were other towns that I've talked to, and then they're like, you guys got a six. I think it blew their minds, and they've been in it longer, and they're not at a six. So, I mean, hopefully we'll strive to get better than that at some point, but just to maintain, to get it originally and then maintain it is a real price.
What's the top rating? What's the top rating?
Like one.
That's a one.
Yeah, you work your way up. Okay.
You aren't any of those.
There aren't any of those?
All right, so with that, we wanted to go to our CFO. We think we did that right. Yes, we wanted to go to our CFO who wants to talk to us about best practices. Mike, are you here?
Sure. Just real quickly, we, as you know, every year the Department of Community Affairs requires us to submit best practices inventory, which analyzes whether or not we are complying with any laws and whether we're practicing, utilizing best practices. The areas that they look at are planning and environment, personnel policies, finance, financial administration, budgeting, capital programs, procurement, transparency in government, cybersecurity, shared services, basic municipal operations, and rentals. So they look at all those areas. There's 38 core competencies. Out of the 38 core competencies, we scored a perfect 38. The 38 is 34, where yes, we comply with the law. One is perspective, which is just that we're in the process of codifying our ordinances. It's not complete yet, but we're in that process, so we score for that regardless. And three, we're not applicable to our respondent because we don't have the types of operations that they're asking about, like fire districts and other authorities that we don't have in town. There's another 15 questions in regard to general municipal operations that are not considered core competencies, but they're considered best practices. We scored 13 out of 15 on that. So basically, we fell 2 points short of a perfect quarter for a borough, for our size borough. So as Jack had mentioned, we scored 45. Any score of 30 or higher means that they don't withhold any of our state aid, so they're 100% of state aid that they'll apply to us. So that'll be submitted to the state now that we've discussed it here. I'll answer any questions you have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
That concludes our agenda other than executive session, which we can be a very short executive session, discuss contracts, and when we come out, there will be no further legislative action. Can I have a motion to go to executive?
Make a motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.